Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
If the roar of the crowd gives you goosebumps, cashing a slip makes you grin, and above all, you love making your bookie cry, then you're in the right place. The number one spot for premier betting advice and wild opinions, shared with a fan base like no other. Welcome home. This is the Punch List MMA Podcast. Here are your hosts, Dale Lippin and Trey Van Buskirk.
What is going on, ladies and gentlemen? You are tuned into the newest edition of the Punch List MMA Podcast. It's your boy Dale Lippin in here with the, I usually call him the Flying Hawaiian, but he is dragging a little bit. He is low speed, high drag this week. Big week for the man himself, Trey Van Buskirk. What's going on, buddy?
He said it perfectly, man. I'm running on fumes right now.
I get it. It's been a long week. Been a very long week for you. I understand. I get it. I know we alluded to it before in a previous show, but the new addition to the Van Buskirk household has shown up. So you are dealing, you're full-fledged in the throes of newborn baby isms. I mean, how's that feel, man? It's been a while since you've been around a newborn. What's it like having a new one?
I feel like a heavyweight going into the fifth round that had no training camp for 10 years.
So you feel like Greg Hardy.
Great cardio right now. Great cardio. Oh, and to double down on this, not only do I have a 3-day-old baby in the house, but I also decided that it'd be really smart on Monday to go on a diet.
Why? So, why would you do that?
Because our first kid we had, I was so stressed out, not knowing what I was doing, first-time parent. And, you know, you lack of motivation to go work out. Mm-hmm. You know, to take the stress down, have a couple beers at night, gained 11 pounds in the first like 3 months. And I was like, not this time. No, I want to be super dad, front lines. Let's get it going.
You know, 11 pounds is like the way my weight fluctuates, like on a Saturday, Sunday combo, right? And you're talking about over 3 month period. I literally will fluctuate 11 pounds on a Saturday, Sunday. It just depends on what I got going on.
Dude, I don't want to be the majority in this dad bod thing, man. I want to be a stud. And given COVID and the cases that are coming out, going back to jiu-jitsu right now looks like the most farthest thing in the horizon. I can't even think of it.
Yeah, they're getting ready to shut South Carolina back down. I'm with you, though. I do. I will admit I need to do a better job of taking care of myself. And I don't know, man. Motivation's at an all-time low for stuff like that. I'm just... I don't know. I got to do better. So anyway. All right, man.
Well hold on. I know what you're about to go into right now. And this is going to be even more torturous. You're about to talk about Stay Classy, and I'm fucking starving, dude.
I am.
This is the worst ad.
Well, what I was going to say is that if you're going to start a diet and you are going to start turning things around, one of the things that you have to do is eat clean. And if you're going to eat clean and you are going to eat top-notch food, you can do no better than going to stayclassymeats.com using promo code FIST and saving 10% on your entire order. It's the truth, though. I mean, eating clean is the easiest way to do it. You know, I did the paleo diet for a long time. My wife and I, after the birth of our first child, we were like hardcore paleo nuts. And I lost a ton of weight. However, that's a very expensive habit to keep. I'd love to do the carnivore diet, eat nothing but meat. That seems more my speed right now. And if you're going to do that, man, if you're going to take that carnivore plunge, Stay Classy Meats would be the way to go. Could you imagine a ribeye or brisket or bavette from Stay Classy every single day? It'd be the most like self-indulgent hedonistic thing you could possibly do.
I mean, that's the problem, though. It's all in moderation. The problem is I'll go on Stay Classy's website and I'll choose the bison box, but I won't say, yeah, I want the bison box. I want the whole bison, dude. Send me a bison. I don't care if it's live. I'll put it in my backyard. I'll chip away at it. I literally am so hungry right now. A full bison seems the only way to settle everything.
Right. Well, I mean, like you have alluded to, they do have the bison box. They also have a burger and brat box as well that if you order by tomorrow using promo code FIST, you can get in time for 4th of July. So encourage everybody to do that as well. And here's the other thing, man. If you're going to eat well and you're going to work out, you're going to lose weight and your shirt sizes are going to change. And if you're going to wear a shirt, you might as well wear the best shirt humanly possible. Trey, if I wanted to go from an XL to a large, what would you suggest I clothe this marble sculpture in?
Well, probably black. I mean, that's pretty, the whole world knows that. Put on black and it will make you look 10 pounds thinner.
I do what I can.
But actually very fitting going into 4th of July weekend is you want to wear something that represents you, represents your country. And why not do that with a USA made veteran owned clothing brand? Guys, go to allegianceclothing.com and you're going to get that. You're not only going to get the sickest looking clothes on the planet, but something that represents you, represents the greatest country on earth. Guys, this is a clothing brand that I love. I share with my friends, my family. It's something that's synonymous with who we are, you know, what we do, from the action sports lifestyle to MMA. This is your all-encompassed poster child of clothing right here.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. I looked on their website today. Do they have masks yet?
I don't know if they have masks. Everyone's doing that now.
Yeah. I'm trying to find a great mask. Like, I really want to find a great one before I take the plunge. Our town locally here just passed an ordinance where you can't do anything now unless you have a mask on. You have to have a mask on. So I'm looking for masks. But all the same, even if I don't have a mask on, the amount of colorways and sizes and different shirts available on allegiance.com, it's fantastic, man. It's fantastic. What's that promo code again?
It's PUNCH, and it's going to get you 15% off site-wide. Guys, again, they make hats, shirts, tees, shorts, everything, tactical wear, whatever you want. They have a broad spectrum, and it's all really cool. So go to allegianceclothing.com, type in the code PUNCH, and you'll get 15% off site-wide.
Perfect. All right, Trey, let's get into this, man, because we want to touch on the prelims for UFC 251, but I also just kind of want to talk about the state of the union of the UFC right now. We are in the throes of this during COVID-19. I don't know if we're post yet, but we're pre-Fight Island, right? We have this lull coming out of quarantine. Fight Island is just around the corner. The month of July will be showcased on Fight Island. We're getting there. I mean, this was something that, you know, in April and May, everybody was hyped on, but we've had bangers of events all year long that has sort of made Fight Island just kind of sneak up on us. So let's start with this event last weekend, headlined by Dustin Poirier versus Dan Hooker. Contender for Fight of the Year. Let's get your thoughts about that fight, takeaways, anything like that. What do you got for me regarding Dustin Poirier, Dan Hooker?
Well, first off, before I get into Dustin Poirier, Dan Hooker, I have to say there's something, like you alluded to, in the air of the Apex Center. We've gone back-to-back events where at the Apex Center we've seen Fight of the Year contendants. We've seen, you know, obviously when we saw the Shane Burgos fight go down, that was something that just, you know, brought eyes and almost comparison to the Weili Zhang and Janajan Jacek fight. Like, people are talking about, well, maybe not from a holistic perspective because it wasn't a title fight, but was this fight, which wasn't a title fight, is this a contender? And I think that this one had a lot of ebb and flows. I look at the Weili Zhang and Janajan Jacek fight, that was through and through back and forth. What we saw in this fight with Dustin and Dan was we saw a little bit of give and take. We saw Dan Hooker kind of fall after round three. Cardio wasn't there. And I don't think that's cardio because of a lack of training. I think he had a quick turnaround from his previous fight against Paul Felder. But I think more so, it's just the onset and the onslaught that Dustin Poirier with his in-your-face boxing does to you. It will just drain you.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So let me ask you this, going into this, we've had four, and you've mentioned three out of the four. We've had four so far in as many months contenders for fight of the year. Joanna and Weili Zhang, Tony Ferguson, Justin Gaethje, yeah. Josh Emmett, Shane Burgos, Dustin Poirier, Dan Hooker. Who's getting your vote for fight of the year at this moment?
I still got to go with Weili and Joanna.
Yeah.
I just think that the back and forth was, they didn't step off the gas pedal. Neither did Dan Hooker and Dustin Poirier or Tony Ferguson and Justin Gaethje. But there was something about the level and the tacticalness from round one to five that we saw in Joanna and Weili's fight that was just pure. It was pure mixed martial arts. There wasn't much brawling. It was back and forth, technical striking. But the level and cardio was out of this world.
Yeah. I think the stakes are what do it for me sometimes. It's like the story behind it. It's the stakes. It's what people are walking into the cage with. You know, Joanna is continually trying to climb back up to that mountain. Weili is trying to solidify herself as legitimate as a champion. With the Tony Ferguson, Justin Gaethje fight, these are both guys that feel like they're the best in the world, and they're just dying for the opportunity to prove it against one another in a Shark Tank. And then Dustin Poirier, Dan Hooker. Dan Hooker is that guy that's on the outside wanting to belong, right? He's willing to do what it takes to make himself relevant amongst the big fish, to make himself relevant amongst the sharks. And Dustin Poirier wants to stay at that spot where he's been, where, say, you know, outside of Khabib, I'm the next one to beat. Like, you know, Tony, Justin, you guys are having your moment in the sun. One of you will get a shot at Khabib next. However, it's me. It's always been me. I'm going to be here still. You know, if Dustin Poirier loses that fight to Dan Hooker, he's now relegated to, and I mean this with all due respect to Paul Felder, he's relegated back to fighting the 5, 6, 7, 9 guy again. Mm-hmm. And it puts him 2-3 shots outside of a title shot. Whereas realistically, because you know he got banged up during that Hooker fight, he could sit back and say, I want to fight the winner of Khabib and Justin.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And nobody's going to say, yeah, you shouldn't, right? I would like to see Tony fight Dan Hooker. That's who I would like to see. I know a lot of people are pushing for Poirier versus Ferguson. I want to see Tony fight Dan Hooker. I think Dan Hooker is an interesting stylistic matchup for him.
Yeah, yeah. And I completely agree with in association to stakes and how that would stake the claim in association to fight of the year. But you know what also makes it really that much more, kind of the sprinkle, the cherry on top, is that one kind of prolific incident that happens within these fights that makes it look that much more, there's a better way to say this, that much more grotesque, that much more gnarly. Right. And, you know, we looked in the Tony Ferguson fight with him shaking his head, you know, in the last round, like, oh man, he's barely there. We looked at Dan Hooker versus Dustin Poirier, his eyes completely gouged up, and it looks like that thing's going to take 50 stitches. Joanna looking like a goddamn alien after her fight with the hematoma. I think that the mixture of technical striking plus the implications and what we saw from a physical aspect post that fight just made it that much gnarlier. But outside of that, I want to ask you this. So following that fight, you sometimes, whenever it does involve the Mystic Mac himself, you like to kind of just jump in there and do a little bit of poke of fun.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You very clearly called Conor McGregor out and said, hey, because we all know that sometimes these infamous tweets will come out post really amazing mm-hmm. fights like this.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't hear anything from Conor, but heard something from you.
Yeah, which is anytime, and LeBron is guilty of the same thing, right? They're shine stealers, right? Where they know that they're in a position that everything that they say and do is news. And more so, especially in a landscape that doesn't really have that many outright global superstars, they realize and understand the pull and the gravity of the things that they say. And Conor is notorious for stealing somebody's shine, because something will happen and then the news then becomes, well, what does Conor think about it? What did Conor say about it? And not what actually happened. And even with the Tony and Justin fight, he had something to say to try to take and detract away from the effort by Justin Gaethje. However, with the Poirier Hooker fight, he said nothing. He said absolutely nothing, because at a certain point, you realize that it's okay to sit there and talk, right? But at a certain point, you're going to grasp onto this idea. Well, I either need to put up or shut up, right? Like, you can talk about how, oh, I had this perfect plan for a 5-fight season and all this other nonsense. Everybody else is adapting and overcoming through adversity and continuing to show why they are top level competitors, or guys like this are trying to show themselves as the best in the world. They're continuing to fight and overcome and persevere and showcase skills and talent that prove what they say about themselves. Conor doesn't do that. He says that he's willing to fight anytime, anybody, anywhere, but yet he has never done that. He's been handpicking his opponents since the first time he fought Dustin Poirier. He only fights when he wants to. He's openly admitted that the UFC will offer him 3 or 4 people, and he picks who he wants to fight. That's not fighting anybody, that's not fighting anytime, and that's not fighting anywhere. He picks his spots. Now, noticeably, over the course of these last lightweight fights that continue to get showcased, he's becoming quieter and quieter and quieter, because your most recent win came off of a washed-up Cowboy Cerrone, and prior to that, you hadn't won in years. So you can't talk. You cannot talk. You can't sit there and go, I'm going to do this, that, and the other, because nobody's watching Dan Hooker and Dustin Poirier fight and go, yeah, Conor's going to have an easy time with those guys. Nobody. Outside of the most robust Conor fanboys. Nobody.
But how much of it is actually, is it Conor choosing to not fight versus the UFC preserving him? And the reason I say that is because there's no gate, there's no concessions. Conor McGregor doesn't do empty stadiums. That's not him. That's not what the UFC brought themselves to a new echelon on. With rising COVID cases, it doesn't look like, you know, a fan-filled stadium is anywhere in the near future. And they know that the fight that would be made during that time would be the Khabib fight, which Khabib shows no interest in. It's one that he can't obtain based on rankings. I think with a lack of fans in a stadium, a no Khabib fight, is there really anything for him out there? Do you think a Dan Hooker is a Conor echelon fight? Do you think a Dustin Poirier, one that he already won, is a Conor echelon fight? It's not blockbuster. It's not that great. I do think it would be great from a fight fan perspective, you and I, but the general casual is not going to care about a Dustin Poirier versus Conor McGregor.
Well, the problem is he's sleeping for so long on being active that nobody's going to move the needle. Nobody's moving the needle if you put Conor against them right now. If you can do, oh, well, Conor needs to fight Khabib again. Well, that fight wasn't competitive, and Khabib doesn't want that fight because it wasn't competitive. And there's other people that have earned that right more. You made the point, the Dustin Poirier fight. Okay, sure, that might not be, you know, the big needle mover, but you can't put him up to welterweight because anybody in the top five of welterweight will maul him. You can't put him against any of these guys at lightweight because they're either fighting each other or they've got fights booked. And he's not going to make featherweight again. So there's nothing else you can do with him. He has literally talked his way into a stalemate where his stock is continuing to go down. If he was smart, and this is my opinion, and I completely concede your point about the gate, right? And the gate is one small aspect of it. But in a time like this where there are no sports and the NBA has not started back up yet and the MLB Players Association has just agreed to a new season, if he were to have fought on UFC 250, against anybody with these guys, it's the biggest selling pay-per-view of all time in anything, boxing, MMA, anything. It would be the biggest selling pay-per-view of all time. So gate be damned, it's the greatest selling pay-per-view of all time if he fights on 250. Doesn't matter who he fights, he could fight. He could fight some dude on the street. It doesn't matter. If they bring him into UFC 250, it's the greatest, biggest selling pay-per-view of all time, which he says that those are the numbers he's obsessed with and those are the things that he likes. Your money is no longer where your mouth is. Now it just sounds like you have a mouth. That's it.
Right. Well, what the UFC is definitely doing to compensate is they're loading cards. And call that, you know, a lack of fights and trying to squeeze as many to get back within season for 2020. But on UFC 251, we have 3 title fights coming up. And we have a very, very stacked prelim card.
Yeah. Yeah, it's an absolutely stacked prelim card. It's a lot of fighters, you know, for lack of a better way to put it, a lot of foreign fighters that weren't able to make, you know, the trip to the U.S. due to travel restrictions, things of that nature. So, it you know, we're getting to see a lot of guys that and girls that wanted to stay active that don't necessarily train or are from the U.S. that are able to make it work now because they're having fights in a foreign country, which is what makes Fight Island so great. Let's talk about some of these prelims real quick, because we, you know, there's a lot of other stuff to get to in terms of what's happening, you know, in MMA. Finally, we have news. Finally, we have stuff to talk about, which is great. But let's cover some of these prelims. We're just going to go over them, not necessarily picks, but just stuff that we like, things that, you know, things to keep an eye on. First one we're going to talk about, dude, is Roman Bogatov taking on Leonardo Santos. I like Leonardo Santos, 17-3. Bogatov, 10-0, undefeated, out of M1. You were saying that of all the people that you think will actually go in and execute a sound game plan, Bogatov's your bet to get it done.
Yeah, I mean, it's scary. Obviously, anyone with a 10-0 record is no joke. Coming out of M1, though, before signing with the UFC, that's legit. This guy has great ground game. And when you look at someone like, you know, Leonardo Santos, it's one of those guys that his takedown defense is really not there. I've gotten a little bit gun shy because of this last fight where we saw Mickey Gall and Mike Perry fight. A guy that needed to execute the takedown didn't do it. That makes me a little bit worried. But Bogatov knows, you know, this is what he needs to do. He's seen it in other fighters that haven't been able to get it to the ground. He's going to get it to the ground. I think his submission's his way to victory.
Yeah, my only thing with Leonardo Santos is how infrequently the guy fights. That's really the biggest issue that I have with him. I mean, he very rarely fights. He's very rarely healthy. He's only fought three times since 2015. We're in the middle of 2020. That's not very active. I mean, we're talking about a guy that took 3 years off between the time he fought Adriana Martins and fought Stevie Ray. Now, he came out and he knocked out Stevie Ray in the first round, which is great. But that's such a weird, long lapse in time. Like, from a guy in the early 2010s that was fairly active to just completely falling off the map. That's what has me concerned with taking a guy like Leonardo Santos. But we'll see how it plays out, man. What do you think?
I mean, I just think you got to look at the record and how their record's been bolstered. And like I said, Bogatov, he's 10-0. Five of which were all submissions. This right. guy knows his game plan. He needs to execute it. And a guy going against a guy who you can exploit from a takedown perspective all day.
Right. All right, next fight, Makwan Amirkhani, Mr. Finland, taking on Danny Henry. Makwan Amirkhani at 15-4, Danny Henry at 12-2. I like Danny Henry in this fight, man. I think he's got some quality wins. The loss that he has in the UFC to Dan Ige. Come on, man. We're already seeing that the loss to Dan Ige is nothing to scoff at. Get Dan Ige getting that main event spot against Calvin Kattar coming up here pretty quick. But Makwan Amirkhani coming off that loss to Shane Burgos, who just had fight of the year contender with Josh Emmett. Notable cardio issues, but he's a creative striker, ready to bang, not afraid to engage. And he's a submission threat, too. Makwan Amirkhani is the real deal. I just don't know if he has the discipline necessary to get a W here.
Yeah, and back up real quick. Amirkhani, cardio issues galore, but I still can't figure out, is this octagon, is it on the beach or is it not?
It does look like it's on the beach.
Okay, so regardless of their obscure times, which I heard it's going to be as early as like 3 a.m. Pacific time, outside of time being a huge issue and crutch, I'm curious from a cardio perspective, the heat there is out of control. I mean, yeah. A guy that doesn't have the greatest cardio versus another guy who's, like you said, Danny Henry has had some great wins over some really technical strikers. I think that if he can get in there and he can play to his game, I think that Amirkhani has a huge issue on his hand. Cardio aside, I think that Danny's a real deal here. He's got great technical striking. He can move around. I like him coming in 12-3. If you look at Amirkhani, when he fought Shane Burgos, dude, he was outstruck. Well, it was 101-12.
Yes, bad.
Significant strikes.
Yes, like, bad. It was really bad.
It was a joke. Yeah. Or 105-22. I mean, Danny Henry, while he hasn't fought the caliber, I mean, he's definitely fought those that are tacticians and technical. I think that strike for strike, I like Danny in this fight. He has actually decent takedowns against a guy with failing cardio. This looks pretty legit.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll see. Like I said, I'll be interested to see next week how the lines tighten up before we actually start making plays on any of these. I want to see what the lines start coming in at. Mm-hmm. But yeah, definitely pretty interesting fight there. 12-2, Danny Henry is somebody to be concerned with in the featherweight division. All right, Muslim Salikov taking on Ilizu Zaleski dos Santos. We're just going to call him Zaleski dos Santos on that first name. Just makes it sound like I'm sneezing. Muslim Salikov is no joke. Weird, twisted up Andrei Arlovsky style nose, but Muslim Salikov 16-2. Zaleski dos Santos 22-6. Dude, for the longest time, man, I'm not going to lie, I was on the Zaleski dos Santos hype train. Was absolutely on the hype train with him, and then he has seemed out of it lately. I think this is a bad matchup for him here with Muslim Salikov.
You know, it's funny, Salikov's name is King of Kung Fu, mm-hmm. but at the end of the day, his strengths, you know, lie on the ground. I think that's pretty funny. I think, you know, Dos Santos, when it comes down to power, the guy holds a lot of power in his fist. And like you said, a lot of people jump on the train because that guy can be a train. He can run through people. But a lot of times when you hold a lot of power in your fist, you also leave a lot of vulnerabilities. This is another guy, and I feel like this is very redundant in a lot of these fights, but get it to the ground. You know, and this kind of coincides with actually the octagon being on the beach. Mm-hmm. I mean, depending on how your cardio is doing, lay and pray. Get down on the ground. Don't move around. Don't kill yourself.
Yeah. No, you're absolutely right. And, you know, we've seen Muslim Salikov do really well against creative strikers. You know, obviously Ricky Rainey, world kickboxing champion, Salikov did really well with him. Nordine Talib can be creative at times, but Talib's another one of those guys I think will just never realize his actual potential inside the octagon. But then Laureano Staropoli, the dude from Argentina, is a super creative striker, and Salikov shut him down. It was like clean sweeps on all the cards. It was bad. He really shut him down. Aleski dos Santos, is a super creative striker as well. Like you said, carries power in both hands and both feet. Muslim Salikov has the track record that would indicate that he can get this done. So I'll be really interested to see next week what this line ends up at, because I feel like possibly a play on Salikov might be inside the, you know, in the works here. But let's finish this up. The featured prelim of the evening, light heavyweight action, Volkan Uzdemir, 17-4, taking on Jiří Prochazka.
Just Jiří.
Jiří Prochazka?
Yeah, there you go.
26-3-1, a little bit more experience over Volkan. This is a unstoppable force meeting, an immovable object right here, man. Two guys that want to bang. What do you think?
So Uzdemir, obviously we know, last time fought December 2019, taking, I think it was a short notice fight against Rakic. I think Jiří, I mean, the guy's name should be Jesus Christ, dude. This guy can come in, it's kill or be killed, dude. He's one of these guys that comes in and bangs for the fences, and it's one of those guys that also can leave himself super, super vulnerable. A guy that, you know, he has literally 26 wins and 23 of them are by knockout.
Right.
This guy has got hands of stone. You know, Uzdemir is not one that you're going to put out though. And he's smart enough to not get into these firefights. So this is a quintessential, you know, almost like a debut type guy versus the veteran, someone that's been there before, been in front of the big show, able to move around, play to his strengths. Jiri's got to be a little bit careful, not get into these firefights. But if he does, and Uzdemir actually wants to engage, whew, it's going to be a crazy night for Volkan.
Yeah. I mean, here, I guess the big question that I have with this Jiří fight is level of competition, right? And I'm a big believer in experience. I'm a big believer in level of competition. And I just don't see Jiří having the same level of competition, right? Like CB Dolloway, his most recent fight. Yeah, CB Dolloway fought in the UFC. That's great. Fabio Maldonado, again, fought in the UFC. But like guys like Brandon Halsey, Jake Hune, I don't necessarily think they're on the level of anybody that Volkan's beat in the UFC. He's got, you know, Yuri's got a loss to King Mo that he avenged, but he lost to King Mo. He lost to Satoshi Ishii. Anybody that's like a who's who or has a wealth of experience more as far as quality of competition goes tends to get wins over him. So I'm with you. He is a wrecking ball of a human being. Mm-hmm. But are we seeing that wrecking ball hit already compromised buildings, or is he knocking down superimposed structures? So that's my big concern going into this fight. You know, Ryzen is not the UFC. Ryzen has UFC caliber and quality and even more so talent at times. But the guys that he's fought, I'm just not sold on them being like world beaters yet. So now if he goes in there and starches Uzdemir, I'm on a train, man. I'll put the conductor hat on. We'll get it going. And that's a big statement in a division, in my opinion, that needs more blood, needs more talent in it. Light heavyweight's squandering right now. It's just kind of a round robin, if you will, between Reyes, Jones, Santos. Who else? Jan Blachowicz. I mean, that's really, this is what, you know, the fact that we can't sit here and name, you know, the top 10 light heavyweights right off the bat, a resurging Glover Teixeira. The fact that Glover Teixeira gets a second wind, right? He came around again. Like, he's like Glover Teixeira is like a locust. Like, every 17 years he shows up and he's relevant again. But that's where we're at. That's how thin light heavyweight is. So Jiří comes in and he starches Uzdemir. Sure, why not? Let's get it popping. But I'm not sold on it till I see it. But we'll see what that line ends at, because I think you might be able to get, depending on how you're leaning here, somebody's going to be available at a friggin' bargain of a price.
Yeah, and like you said, I feel like we've had a lot of these splash in the pan type fighters. Like, everyone wanted the Johnny Walker to be the next guy, you know what mm-hmm. I mean? Mm-hmm. They're hoping that Jiří's going to be that next guy, but mm-hmm. when in fact they do fail, they kind of falter and kind of hang out in that 10 to 15 spot. And like you see, we just see this kind of laundry of, like, you know, circular motion, whether that's Corey Anderson, Glover, Anthony Smith, you know, Alexander Gustafsson still in there. It's the same people for the past like 5 years. Nothing's yeah. changing. Nothing's evolving. You know, hopefully this is something different. I think that, you know, like you said, it's level of competition. He hasn't had that. Here's the first test.
Yep. Absolutely. All right. So cover prelims next week. We'll do the actual main card itself. And then we'll solidify if we're going to make any prelim plays. You guys have heard our thoughts on it. I want to get your thoughts on something, Trey. And it's a little bit off speed for us, but I want to get your thoughts on it. Something that, in my opinion, was arguably as newsworthy as anything that Conor McGregor could or should have tweeted on Saturday night. For those that did see it before Instagram removed it, a superstar showed herself on Saturday night, man.
man, sadly, I know exactly what you're talking about.
It's not sadly. So Gina Carano, as those of you who are unaware, went full frontal. Well, side, not full frontal, side.
Silhouette
on Instagram. And Instagram removed it.
Oh, Instagram removed it.
Instagram removed it.
I thought she removed it.
No. Instagram removed it. So here's where I have a problem with this, right? Is that Paige is able to constantly post whatever she wants. Instagram thoughts are able to post constantly whatever they want. Gina, who has a lot at stake here between working with Disney and all of these other franchises, actually puts up something that does not remotely come close to the other things that we see on there, and they remove it. Is it because of relevancy within the MMA landscape? Is it because of who these chicks are? Like, what, I mean, it's MMA, so it's news and something I want to talk about because I hate censorship and I don't like the government telling me what we can and can't do. What are your thoughts on this? Should they have removed that? Do they have any right to remove that?
Well, was it the government or was it some formation of a Karen out there that was complaining?
I don't know. I mean, it's Instagram. They're never going to tell you. I've been banned from posting on Facebook for forever, and they won't ever tell me why. So,
well, Gina, after that post was taken down, which I had no idea that Instagram actually took it down, she put up a nice quote by Prince, and it said, "I find freedom sexy. I find freedom so sexy. I can't even explain it to you. You wake up every day and you feel like you can do anything." All I'm saying is, I just saw the word sexy 3 times, and I saw her post, and my God.
Right. Well, here's what I understand. And again, this is the argument that was made a couple years ago. You can take a picture and you can put it on Instagram and your nipples can be out. right?
Yeah.
She can take a picture, put it up, and you can see the silhouette of a nipple, and they remove it. A nipple is a nipple is a nipple.
It's too hot, dude. It's a hot nipple, though.
But that's just it, though, is if I take a picture of an up-close nipple, it's just a nipple. Can you tell the difference between my nipple and Gina's nipple?
Yeah, I have a question. What if I decide to free the nipple? Are they going to censor me?
That's what I'm saying, is they're not going to, which isn't fair.
Well, that's because I've got some brown sugar around it. Nice little chest hair action.
Well, this leads me to my next thing. You need to bust out that lawnmower 3.0 and take care of that, Trey.
I know. We're in quarantine, though. Who's going to see me?
Well, it's not a matter of who is going to see you. It's who does see you. And you know as well as I do, if you're going to make yourself the best version of you, like you said, you're on a diet. So if you're on a diet and you're going to trim up, you know, or slim up, you might as well trim up. And the only way you're going to do that is using the Lawnmower 3.0. And the Lawnmower 3.0 is nipple safe.
It is. It's got that fantastic guard on it. And it's like I told you, if you're not going to be able to wear a black shirt and lose 10 pounds, what you need to do is you got to shave it down and tone it out. And that's the best way to do it is the Lawnmower 3.0. Guys, if you go to Manscaped and type in our code PUNCH, you're going to get 20% off and free shipping. They've got a bunch of knickknacks you can do from your foot to your chest to your balls, whatever you want. They've got it. Coming out of this quarantine, everyone's going to look like a Yeti. You don't have to look like one.
You absolutely do not. All right. Speaking of Manscaped, dude, do you want to give away some Manscaped stuff?
Yes, I do.
Excellent. Excellent. Before we do that, let's go over what the parameters of the contest were. We asked those, if you listen to us anywhere, to go and leave a review where you can. If you can, include your name or handle and write something so we can see it. If you can't, reach out to us via DM or one of our Instagram posts and let us know that you got it done. And I appreciate everybody that actually did that. However, Trey, before we get into the review that won my heart and thus wins the prize pack, I want to talk about an individual first. I want to talk about this guy, Mark something or other. Okay. Mark something or other decided to leave us an iTunes review. Now, admittedly, it was a one-star review, and I expect, listen, you want to leave us a one-star review, that's fine. You are entitled to your opinion to leave a one-star review. He's not the first person to do so. He will not be the last, right? And that is what it is. My problem is with what he said. He said that we went 0-2. We did not go 0-2 last week. We went 1-1. There's a distinct difference. Now, he also said that based upon this episode, it sounds like they're getting worse week to week. Now, are we in a slump? Yes, we have been in a slump lately, but are we one day away from getting back on track? Of course we are. Our record speaks for itself when it comes to that. But this indicates to me that he only listened to our episode, only one episode. He literally, that episode was the first one that he listened to. And even then, he did not follow through with making sure the bets hit before he wrote his review. So you're not in the position to comment on anything, you bag of dick. Like, that's just that you're just not in the position to comment on it. If you don't listen to the show, you don't consume the content, and you don't even apply it correctly, you're in no position to talk about anything. We explicitly said over and over last week, two official plays, Poirier Hooker over and Green Vellante under, and the under missed by 40 seconds. Now, a miss is a miss is a miss. It still loses money. I get that. But to write a review saying going 0-2 before you even finished the night of fights, or you didn't pay attention, and it's your first time listening to the show, that's absurd. You have no idea the quality of the content, the time, anything like that. So, to you, Mark, if you listen, by all means, take your one-star review, put it on a skewer, add some Stay Classy Meats to it, and shove it directly up your asshole. Because you don't listen to our show. You don't know who we are. You don't appreciate good content. And if you're right, man, if there's other MMA shows out there that you find better, go listen to them. Because I'm going to be honest with you, man, your review doesn't make or break my paycheck, and it doesn't make or break whether or not I'm going to make this content, because there's thousands of people out there that do enjoy our show. So if you don't like it, either make one better or just shut up. because your opinion's not relevant.
That was gorgeous.
I just don't like people like that. I just don't. If you said, I've been listening to these guys for 4 weeks now, and it's this, that, and the other. Constructive criticism, I get it. But Mark, you don't follow us on Instagram. You don't follow us on Facebook or Twitter or anything like that. I looked for you. So I wanted to reach out and try to make it better. Figure out what's got us drawing such ire out of you. But you don't. You don't consume any of our content except outside of one episode. So this isn't going to come as a shock to you, but that review was not selected for the Manscaped prize pack. However, I did put all of the reviews that were already on there. I did put all of the reviews or all of the names of people. I added it as if, you know, they were. I put it into this program on the computer that allows you to randomly generate names.
Wait, hold on, Dale. We're not giving the Manscaped package to Mark.
No. I want him to have my nuts fully hairy.
Well, no, I just figured he's the biggest dick out there. Might as well utilize the man. Is there not enough battery life?
No, there is. So the lithium ion battery on the Lawnmower 3.0, I believe you can get 12 hours of cut time on that.
Okay. So for what's probably a 5'1", you know, pussy, is a dick.
I'm not going to size shame because I've met some short kings out there. You know, you can't help the genetics in which you were born with. If you're short, that's fine, man. So let's not size shame them. But
good call.
What I will say is that, you know, I've already said everything I want to say about this guy. Like I said, he's not even the only one-star review that we have on iTunes. But for some reason, this guy just really got my goat. So I just want to go in on him a little bit here. But anyway, be that as it may, no, Mark is not winning our prize pack. I put all the names into a program, hit randomly select, and it selected a user by the name of I'm gonna mispronounce this. I'm not gonna say it right. I'm gonna go with it's a Judy Chop. It's a, and then it's like the word Jude, but like spelled out, like the name Jude spelled out really long, and then Chop.
It's like Jude
Chop. Yeah.
Okay. Judo Chop.
Sort of. Yeah, I guess something to that effect. So whoever that is, shoot us a message on Instagram, send us an email at chat@punchlistmma.com, and hit us up with your address, and we'll send you the Manscaped prize pack.
Perfect. Guys,
congratulations. Golf clap.
Yeah, golf clap for that, for sure.
That's also the sound of my balls on Mark's back.
Okay. Yeah. Guys, to kind of piggyback on what Dale said, we are so fortunate to be supported by such amazing sponsors, and we've been working hard on this. You know, Dale and I both have a family. As you know, I just had another kid. Dale has three of his own. You know, this is something that after our day job, it's something that Dale's been an analyst for some time. I've been involved in the sport for forever. It's something that we love to do and we're passionate about, and we happen to be really good at it. You know, sometimes we have days and, you know, that don't go too well, but we rebound, we come back stronger. All we ask is for support. And, you know, this is a great environment and one that we can share with you that's not biased. So if you want to communicate with us, it's something you want to support, help wave the flag that is Punchless MMA, you can do that on all social channels. Go to Punchless MMA on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. We are everywhere. And Dale will literally talk your ear off if you have anything to say about Conor McGregor. So if you are a fanboy, reach out, Punchless MMA.
Yeah, and we got merch coming soon.
Yes.
We got merch coming soon. Super soon. We will have shirts, hats, beanies, whatever. If you like the Mike logo, it's only going to get better. And we've got some fantastic stuff going away. So a lot of giveaways will be coming up, and a lot of it will be merch-related giveaways. So get ready for that. And then UFC 251, let's do another beer giveaway, another beer money giveaway.
Mm-hmm. I like it. IPAs, okay. Or are we going regular lagers?
Well, since we can't actually gift beer, we'll do like we did last time. We'll just give them money, and then they can buy whatever they want.
Corona, just ruin everything again.
Which, speaking of which, Money Man Dan. He came
greatest
out of,
name, dude.
He came, name. He came out of the woodwork. He took the beer money, but I don't know if the man ever bought beer with it. I mean, listen, I would be more happy honestly, it would make my tiny heart sing if he put the money on a bet and the bet won. That would make me really happy. But Money Man Dan, reach out to us, dude. Let me know, let us know what you did with the money. If you bought beer, let's see that beer. Put that on an IG post or something like that. And, you know, tag us in it so we can share it on our Instagram. Do like, let's, you know, let us help you. Let's build this thing up.
Yeah. Hopefully let it ride. That'd be pretty baller. That'd be pretty cool.
Yeah. So, all right. Next weekend, we'll do a beer money.
I like it.
So keep your eyes out. We'll do a post this week showcasing what you need to do for the beer money giveaway. And then next week, going into UFC 251, we will announce on that episode the beer money winner.
Love it. Let's do it.
Outstanding. Trey, you got anything else for the people tonight, my man?
I do not. Thank you for all the support. We love you. And we are going to come back super strong next week, UFC 251 in an outdoor octagon.
We didn't even go anywhere. I didn't even say we got to come back strong. We didn't go anywhere. We had an off week 2 weeks ago, and we had a 50% week this last week. I didn't go anywhere. I'm not doing anything, man. We're winning bets, dude.
There's no fights this weekend. We're on a vacation.
We're on a vacation anyway. It doesn't matter. It's true. All right, guys. Be good to each other. Take care.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.